This is Jonathan from Kingdom Collapse, and you're listening to House of Noise.
Welcome to House of Noise.
Boom shakalaka.
Why do you get so excited about that?
I do, because it's fun. Okay. It's fun. It reminds me of the days of theater.
It's hot in here.
You're hot in here.
It's hot in our
house. It's getting hot in here. So take off. Sorry.
So we're currently at the end of May right now, and it's a little warm.
It's a little sweltering in
the house. This weekend's supposed to be like high 60s, though.
Yeah, it's kind of raining out there.
I'm glad
I didn't water my plants.
Fucking Michigan. 80, then
I just want
rain, and then 60, 70 degrees.
I just want some sun and some heat so I can lay in my pool and get a tan.
Anyway,
let's talk about the relevant material.
This episode, you already clicked on it, so you already know. This episode is with Jonathan from
Norris.
The band. Jonathan Norris from the band.
Kingdom Collapse,
yes.
And they just released their
I think it's their third.
Yeah, third single, Uprise. And the video is pretty cool. It's them in a garage surrounded by newspapers, and it's so badass, and it's amazing. They're just very talented.
All their videos are actually really well made. I meant to compliment on that, and I forgot.
Suffer is like one of my favorite jams.
You should watch the video for Payback as well.
Payback's good. Yep. Yeah. And yeah, get on Spotify and check them out. That's all their tracks are there.
You know, I could go through the list of the things we talked about because it's all the same stuff, you know, for the most part. We like to get into, you know, how they came in to start playing music, who influenced them, what his childhood was like, who his idols are. We talked about the band, of course, and how he likes
pineapple on pizza. He's my new friend.
What they've been up to, you know, recently during this whole COVID BS. And
yeah. Fuck you, Rona. Fuck you.
He's a first baseman.
He is.
Well,
he grew up listening to Elvis, and he likes Mark Tremonti, and that's his major influence. So, and he's a Seven Dust fan, too. So, like, him and I are best friends.
Oh, yeah. You guys are...
We're besties.
You got a lot of besties, don't you?
I do have a lot of besties, yeah. So
anyway, we hope everybody enjoys this episode with
Jonathan Norris
of Kingdom
Collapse.
Kingdom Collapse.
Yes.
Enjoy.
Hello?
Hey, Jonathan, it's Jenna and Jim. What is going on?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going wonderful. How are you today?
Doing good. Just been taking care of merch orders and stuff all day.
Yeah, how many orders you been sending out in merch?
Oh, man, just so we had an Indiegogo campaign and all that. Recently, so we've been fulfilling that along with taking care of some stuff on our online store. So it's just been consistently, you know, several each day to kind of knock out. So
how often do you guys update your merch ideas as far as design for shirts? Is it when you're going to go out on tour, or just, you know, as you sell the old, you come up with new ideas, or how does that work?
Basically, we have a lot of shirts that have like lyrics on the back of whatever, like say if we release a new single, mm-hmm. We may, like if there's a cool tagline or something, we may make a new shirt off of that, but really just keeping things new and fresh every month or two,
yeah.
You know, with the new design. So
I have to tell you, I really dig the video for Uprise. I like the track, but the video, I'm curious, how long did it take you guys to put all those newspapers up?
About 5 or 6 hours. it was me, our manager, and the video guy. So I'll back up on this. So the way that video started, we were originally going to do a big group thing around the band, like while we're performing. But, you know, the whole coronavirus thing hit, and obviously that we couldn't do that. So, So what happened was we were just like, okay, we got to go back to the drawing board here and figure something out quick. Because the very after everything shut down, the very next weekend was when we had our scheduled shoot. We're like, oh shit, like what do we do? And I called up the video guy that, you know, we've done several videos with, and he was like, you know, I'm still down to do it, blah blah blah. We may not be able to do this in public. Blah, 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 but you could always use my garage if need be.
There you go.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, how could we make this look cool? And, like, obviously the uprise, like, the whole idea, we ended up going with, you know, the whole newspaper thing and the, the media news hysteria kind of vibe. So we're like, hey, let's get a shit ton of newspapers.
There you go.
And let's wall up a newspaper box and put the band inside it. So
I love it.
I really like your previous idea though, because it reminds me of like a Slipknot music video.
I mean, I know the whole crowd thing, it's been done a lot, but I think it really fit the theme of the song.
Definitely.
It doesn't matter if it's been done or not. You just gotta put your own spin on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like it's like music, you know, you're not reinventing the wheel, you're just trying to put your own spin on it.
Exactly. Yeah, man. I think the video turned out well considering, you know, what we were dealt.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think it turned out great. Especially, you know, you have the people sitting on the couch kind of watching the television and stuff with like blank, you know, kind of entranced. And I'm like, that resembles so much of what we have become, you know, with technology and television and that kind of thing. I think more of it's technology. It's caused us to lose touch with each other, you know?
Right. And that's very much like what the song's about, is just thinking for yourself, not just, you know, sitting there and just, you know, letting someone tell you what to believe or what to think. It's like, it's really about just, you know, waking up and thinking for yourself. So.
Well, I know you guys had to cancel some shows because of COVID. Well, how else has the COVID screwed you guys over?
Well, so basically that weekend where they started shutting everything down, I think it was like early mid-March, we had a run up to, so we're from Texas, but we had a run up to Chicago. So we hit Missouri, Chicago, Indiana. So we were on a run there. Well, we played Chicago that Saturday night, and then Sunday morning we woke up and we saw on the news that Illinois shut their bars down. So we made it out like right in time, and then played one last show that Sunday in Indiana, and basically, you know, zoomed home back to Texas and then quarantine. So like it's just caused us to I mean, luckily, like with the video, like we still stayed busy, but we had to cancel a lot of shows.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can't remember what I was gonna say now. I got something else. Anyway, so you guys have played with a lot of great bands, you know, like Saliva, I know, is one of them, and there was a bunch of others. But I was actually excited to see that you guys play with Blacktop Mojo.
Yeah.
Because they're actually friends of ours.
Yeah, dude. So we don't live too far from them. I mean, both being Texas bands, but yeah, they were coming through San Antonio, and
that was the end of their leg with their Can't Sleep tour, I believe.
No, it was fun. Ended up hanging out with those guys after the show and everything, and talking for a bit. It was fun, man.
Yeah, they're really cool. They're really cool dudes.
Yeah, so that was what, February?
Yeah.
That was a little before everything, all this stuff went down.
Right before, yeah. So I find it interesting that you actually are a left-handed guitarist, but you can play right-handed. Or no, you can play the right-hand guitar left-handed. Like you can play it upside down. That's what I'm trying to say. Like Jimi Hendrix style.
Yeah. So you're like Jimi Hendrix style in it.
Well, I not by choice. Like when I play, like, all my guitars are left-handed guitars, but you know, growing up going to friends' houses and all that stuff, it's like obviously they just have a right-handed guitar. So mm-hmm. I got pretty good at playing upside down, like yeah. just, you know, messing around. So
what age did you start learning to play guitar?
Probably about 10 years old. I had always loved music, and like when I was real young, had done a couple piano lessons, but that didn't really stick. Like I didn't like that.
So
guitar was around 10 or 11, maybe 11. But you know, I started out playing guitar and play a little drums. Obviously play guitar, you play bass too, and then started singing. So
I understand Elvis is a little bit of your inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular Elvis album or song, or is it just anything Elvis in general?
Well, growing up, my mom had an old record player. It was like her family's record player from like way back when, and there were a lot of original records, Elvis records, Beatles records, a bunch of that stuff. So she grew up like showing me all that stuff and hearing it play on a real like record player and hearing like the crackle and everything. Yeah. It's like, dude, this is insane. This is cool. And, you know, fell in love with music there. So
would you say that your mom is the one that really got you into music, or was it your whole family?
I would say my mom basically kind of started that. I mean, no one in the family was really a musician at all, but you know, everyone loves music. I'd like to think everyone loves music. There's some weirdos that, you know, music doesn't really have a place in their life.
That's just so weird to me. That was my ex-husband. He was not into music at all, and I'm like, how can you not like music? What is wrong with you? You're just weird.
My dad's kind of the same way too. He's just not. I mean, he'll listen to music, and you know, music has been a part of his life, obviously. But he's like, yeah, I'm good. I'll just listen to the talk radio.
There's definitely those type, and I don't understand it. I can't understand that at all.
But. It's like I don't understand that people get weird about pineapple on pizza either. I'm just like,
yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. Everyone has their taste, you know. Yeah.
I'm like it's the whole entire sweet and savory. It's like pineapple on ham. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know.
It's definitely not my first choice.
Okay. Well, whatever.
So obviously you enjoyed music as a kid. Did you played sports too, right?
Yeah. I was really into baseball growing up, and that was kind of like me and my dad's thing, right? So music, maybe my mom. My dad was a baseball fanatic. So, I mean, I grew up playing Little League, blah, blah, blah. You know, played a little bit of football and basketball, but really when I started getting a little older, I just completely took the path of music. I dropped all that other stuff. I mean, I'm not really
a jack.
No, not at all.
What position did you play?
I was first base.
All right.
He's
a lefty, so it makes sense. So.
Yeah, true, yeah. True.
Yeah, I was usually third or short, so.
Short.
There
stack.
You go. Yeah, man.
It's because I was one of the few guys that would actually dive for the ball.
Yeah,
when
I
came.
Can see that.
I wasn't afraid to get dirty.
There you go.
I have to tell you, another one of your tracks that I really absolutely dig is Suffer. Freaking love that song. It's just so like intense, like in your face. Like I'm gonna smile when life hands you the shit you've handed me, you know?
Oh, yes. Dude, that's a great way to describe it.
You know, it just has that, like, it kind of reminds me of Papa Roach's song, Burn. You know, just has the same message where, you know, you're going to get yours and I hope it's soon. And I'd like to kick your butt.
Exactly.
You can say ass. It's okay.
I know. I can say.
It's just some unsettled karma.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I love all the love that Payback's getting too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Played on the sports centers and with the Chuck show or whatever. I can't.
On Fox.
Fox.
The Chuck show.
Mikitenik. Mikitenik. Yeah, it's a little weird to look at and try to. I don't know. Chuck.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chuck. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm going to tag him. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's all fine. I'll just edit it out. That's all right.
Yeah. I was going to tell you, I listened to everything on Spotify today, and Payback was great. The interlude, I think it was Fading Memory. Memory. I love that interlude. Was that just kind of a little something you guys came up with in the studio, you know, like an organic magical moment that you just decided to keep? Or because, I mean, it's a great interlude. I love it.
That was a very last minute thing. So that EP was originally just going to be 6 songs, right? Mm. So, the next song right after Fading Memory is Burned Your Letter. So that song... So Fading Memory is basically a stripped down acoustic version of the chorus of Burned Your Letter.
Okay.
If you listen to the guitar chords and the melody in Burned Your Letter in the chorus, it's basically an instrumental acoustic version of that. So that's pretty cool. Like, it's kind of like a, you know, an Easter egg, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then the acoustic of Uprise is glorious. What made you guys decide to do an acoustic version of that song?
Really, it's just some of these songs just have a certain, like, whether it's a certain chord progression or something that's like, you know, translates well to the acoustic version. And naturally being a song that a lot of people were, you know, requesting and wanting to hear all the time, where it's like, hey, let's try to do a, you know, an acoustic version of this one. So, just to me, a good song, if you can't pull it back to vocals and just sing and play a guitar or a piano, it's probably not a good song.
Yeah. I think Paul Stanley pretty much said the same thing.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I love it. And, you know, honestly, when you did that to me anyway, it gave it a different element.
Oh, yeah. It's way different.
Yeah, a different tone. So I like that because then people can see that song in a different light.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely has more of a more, I guess, chill vibe.
Yeah, and then, you know, there was Staring Into Nothing, which is a great one, Drifting Away, Bring Me Down, Lost Inside a Dream was cool.
Yeah.
Falling Beneath, and then I really like This Agony too. But you know, all the tracks that Spotify had were beautiful. I'm just like, there's really, I dig all of these. I really love you guys' sound, and like I said, I think Suffer is and Uprise, they're probably two of my favorites, especially Suffer, because it's like
Yep. Yeah, it's one of those things, like with the set list, it's even hard live to pick songs because it's like, well, that means you can't play the other ones.
Right. So, like, how do you guys do that? When you were touring, did you keep the same set list or maybe change it up a little based on location?
It would change depending on, obviously, first, you know, how long our set would be. If we're playing for a bigger band, we would have a shorter set.
Right.
But if we're headlining a show and we have an hour, 45 minutes, obviously we add a lot more songs back in, but we kind of trim the fat down on the short sets and just play the hits, so to speak. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like Suffer, Uprise, Payback, you know, This Agony, Bring Me Down, stuff like that.
Do you guys ever have a chance to throw maybe a surprise in there, like do a cover another artist that you admire or has influenced you and stuff? Or?
Well, I was even gonna. This is what I was gonna butt in okay. and say. Was,
all right, go ahead.
Would you consider throwing in an acoustic version of one of your songs during one of your sets?
That's a good one too.
Potentially, it's, you know, it's one of those things. Right now, where we're at, it doesn't make sense just gear wise to just.
To have an acoustic guitar.
Another line. Yeah, exactly. But when we have that luxury and the time to do stuff like that, oh yeah, we're going to do it. But right now we're just kind of taking that that short and sweet approach, you getting in, getting out, you know, making a statement and getting off the stage.
Yeah.
You know.
What is your approach been to the pandemic personally, like in relation to the band, and like personally too, I'm curious, you know, are you able to see your family and friends, or have you had to kind of use more of different ways of communicating other than physical contact?
Well, you know, here in Texas, we just been riding around on horses and everything the whole time. No, I'm just kidding.
Forget cars. No, we're just going to take the horse.
10-gallon hats and everything.
I'm just kidding. So basically, you know, I know there's certain precautions that should be taken, but we haven't seen things get too extreme down here. I don't know, you know, I know certain areas like New York and LA and certain, you know, areas it's worse and things are more enforced and stuff, but it's been fairly laid back, if any of this has been laid back. I mean, I know this has been insane and ridiculous, but I'm not saying it's not real. It is real, but I really don't have the answers on it. So
yeah
I'd say Texas was one of the ones states that really didn't get hit very hard at all.
No Mm-mm.
Yeah, and the thing is like, it really, even like looking at the numbers, you know, you could say like, okay, you know, there's still a decent amount of cases, but Texas is so big and it's so spread out. So it's like all of that is just, it's not concentrated like New York. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
the crazy numbers there, but everyone's on top of each other.
Yeah. True that. Very, you know, true. Very
so,
true.
So if, what is it, a personal decision, or just you haven't found the right offer to get signed anywhere?
We've made the decision to keep, you know, going forward independently right now, just because like we've been offered deals and stuff like that, but they haven't been the right one.
Right.
There haven't been one that makes sense long term. I think a lot of bands, you know, may get enticed by, you know, a little flash of money, but it's like, well, you got to pay all that back. So,
trying to be smart about it.
We've been taking the very like self-sufficient, independent DIY approach, and if we need money, you know, a label nowadays essentially is just an investor,
right?
You know, so we've basically been taking the approach of finding the money ourselves.
Yeah, you guys are investing in yourselves, which is good.
Right, and it's to the point now we've built a foundation, have enough of a cult following that really started around the. When Suffer released, to where it's not as much of a risk as it would have been back then. Right now, it's just, it feels like a no-brainer, like to attack radio and certain things, and really invest a little bit more of a budget into, you know, I think it just makes sense now.
Right. How has it been going through radio for you?
It's been going super well. We got the news yesterday that we're actually in the top 50 at Active Rock Radio right now. So that second weekend on Uprise, top 50, right at the number 50 spot. Last week it debuted at number 68.
Wow.
And then jumped 18 spots to 50. Holy moly. So we'll see what next week is, but
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I mean, it's been good, and it's really been reassuring to see, you know, with how great of a response Uprise has gotten so far. Yeah. So
now, I'm not going to just assume things, but Did you produce this last album, or did you produce the last two?
I produced all of the, well, so everything minus Drifting Away. So like everything in the last 3 years I have.
Okay. Now, when did you decide to start doing that, and how did you get into it?
That would essentially be from a combination of getting screwed over and and then just like knowing the exact sound I want.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, I can either run the risk of someone taking my money again, or I can just learn, take the long road, but, you know, become good at that and not have to outsource.
Right. And you're already going the DIY route, so you might as well tack on a little extra work, right?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like the whole reason I even started singing too is like back in the day, I was just a guitarist, but, you know, the whole band would be at the mercy of a singer that would quit or a singer was not reliable. And, you know, like the saying, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I've taken that approach to this project, like 110%. If there's anything where it's like, you know, you see after a try or two that things aren't getting done right, well, you should maybe try to figure it out yourself and then attack it.
Right. How much of an adjustment was that for you to go from being a guitarist to a singer?
It is a completely different animal, but, you know, having the musical background for so long, it wasn't impossible. Like, it was definitely, I found, like, I always knew I could do it, but I just never did it for some reason. I was just always, you know, guitar was my instrument. Guitar was my role, my position. But, you know, one day I just got fed up with all of those other factors, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's try this.
Yeah. Do you find yourself when you write lyrics that you're also kind of writing in your mind, maybe hearing the riff to go along with those lyrics in your head? Or
I found that the kind of formula that works for me is really just finding that inspiration or theme for the song, and that will tell you, that will kind of let the emotion come out and the feel of the song and the dynamic, like, okay, so like if it's in this song's kind of pissed off and angry, well, obviously you're going to need an aggressive type of, you know, sound and a riff and like make it hit hard. So really, once you establish the theme and the feel, it's like everything else kind of falls into place.
When you did play guitar, what brand of guitar did you play?
So I still play a lot of guitar, but I've always played Schecter guitars, and then I have a PRS, and then I have, I mean, those are really the two brands that I use.
Yeah. What was it that brought you there? Was it the tone that they...
Or the style,
or the style,
yeah.
Or was it a little bit about,
or the limited choices?
You can't bingo. So Schecters have always been like, you know, rock and metal guitars, and obviously that's kind of the world we're in. PRS, I always grew up, all my favorite guitarists like seem to always use PRSs, and just because that. It's such a versatile guitar and is great for rock. So naturally, a lot of rock guitarists play PRS.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, talking about the lack of options, man. Dude, PRS quit making left-handed guitars in 1999.
What?
Wow.
And they brought it back in 2018, and then I was like, I'm getting one. So, you're very right.
Yeah, wow. My son's left-handed, and I was like, well, maybe I'll give him a guitar. And then I started looking, and there's nothing really out there.
There's not. It's like, you want the black one?
Right. With the black or the red? That's about it.
Oh, man. Have you ever tried to play a 7-string before?
Yes. I've messed around with some. Our guitarist uses a 7-string for some of our lower tunings. But yeah, I mean, really, that kind of sound, I mean, we tune down low, so it usually a baritone or a 7-string is ideal for this kind of these kind of songs.
Gotcha.
I like that one of your guitar heroes is Tremonti.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We actually got to meet him like a year ago and did shots with him and shit. It was fucking awesome. He's a really nice guy.
He is. Yeah, I met him about a year ago as well. Well, about a year and a half. Was it on the Seven Dust tour?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I met
him on that tour as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like so approachable. I was like,
We were shocked. We really were. And then he's like, oh, let's do shots. And we're like, all right, let's do shots.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's like growing up, my brother was real into Creed, my older brother, and kind of showed me. So naturally, you know, Tremonti is like, who doesn't love him?
Yeah.
You know?
And I am a Creed fan myself, so favorites. Yeah.
And how do you not like Alter Bridge? And
I love Alter Bridge. Are you kidding? Miles Kennedy? Are you kidding me? Like for real? Like he actually? Yeah. Like he actually is the only one that is actually singing in the movie Rockstar. Like Marky Mark isn't singing, but he actually is, which just like totally blows my mind. But I love Miles Kennedy. I love Alter Bridge. He is so talented. Oh, yeah. Who else do you admire as far as guitar work?
Oh, let's see. Man, there's so many, but I would say Tremonti was like just on a whole nother level that no one else was. Honestly, like a lot of these other people just didn't really inspire me as much on guitar as he did. And so I would honestly say I don't have any other guitar idols. Yeah. I don't.
Do you... have you heard, I'm just curious if you've heard any of Clint Lowry solo stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I like what I've heard. I haven't heard the whole album, but it's interesting. Mm-hmm. You can totally hear a little bit of that Seven Dust element and you kind of really understand, like you start to hear just solely Clint Lowry's writing style.
Yeah.
And so you can hear that in Seven Dust as well.
Yeah, that is definitely
she's a little
true.
Bit of a Seven Dust fanatic.
I am.
Ooh, I love Seven Dust, man.
I'm like, I got 17 tattoos and like probably half of them are Seven Dust related. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm just I'm not really like psycho or like weirdo kind of like, but I do love Seven Dust. So.
Yeah, I feel like every time I drink, whether it's a Friday, Saturday night, I feel like on the drinking playlist, if we got music going, Waffle comes up.
Oh, my God, yes. I freaking,
I caught somebody had posted a video of them in Woodstock 99, and they were doing Waffle. I was like, man, that would have been fucking amazing to be at.
Yeah, all raw and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's a band that you, I mean, probably Tremonti, but what's a band that you guys really are hoping to be able to play with at some point in your career?
It's funny. We were just talking about Seven Dust, but Seven Dust is one of them. Seven Dust, like bucket list kind of thing. Like, I want to play with Creed. I want to play with Scott Stapp.
Yeah.
even though all the things you've heard about them, I'm sure are true.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's one of those things. Like, I don't care. I don't care what he's done in his personal life. I love Creed.
I've actually seen him perform live with his when he came out with his solo stuff, and he was great.
Yeah, I've seen him a couple times during the solo career. That first album he had, The Great Divide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw him on that tour. They were with Breaking Point back then.
Yep.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was really good.
That was probably like what, 2005?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah. But so aside from his issues that he's had in the past, he is a great performer, and he's, you know, he does have like talent in his own right. So I just, it drives me crazy when people like rip on Creed and I'm like,
there's a reason they sold that many albums. Yeah.
Like, hello, they were talented musicians. Like just cause you have some, like you're against you have an issue with him being, you know, Scott Stapp having religion under his shirt. You're like, oh, he was a Jesus.
Well, the other problem is they weren't super heavy either, so that everybody called them soft rock.
Some
of their songs were like, softer though. So that's where they got. That's where they got a lot of the shit. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole Nickelback thing. Like they just got so big that naturally you have so many people that love you. Well, you're gonna have a lot of people that hate you too.
Well, I actually just saw a video today about it. It was this YouTuber talking about how that's one of the reasons he thinks rock's dead, is because anytime a rock band gets big, everybody shits on them. Like, you see it with Nickelback, you see it with Five Finger Death Punch. You know, it's the second they get huge, everybody wants to shit on them, and then they, you know, so nobody wants to actually get that big.
Yeah, man, like, there's so many, like, especially in the age of, like, YouTube and stuff, there's so many, like, you know, trolls, keyboard warriors and stuff like that, you know, so it's just kind of dumb.
Have you have you guys had any issues with people trolling?
Nothing more than the usual, like, you know, account with, like, two followers with no profile picture talking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... But that's the usual, though. That's to be expected.
Yeah,
so.
True. Very true. Do when you guys have performed, have your parents or family, friends, have they been able to come out and see you perform?
Yeah. My brother lives in Houston, so a lot of times when we go out there, he'll come out to shows. My mom will come out to some shows sometimes in the San Antonio area. But, yeah, I mean, we have... a lot of friends and family that are very supportive around us, you know, a lot of friends that come out, and it's cool, man, because they've been there since the beginning and seen when things were nothing, and now that things are starting to go somewhere, it's really cool to experience together.
Yeah, that is cool. How'd you guys get involved with Adrenaline PR?
So we go, I don't know, way back, but, you know, just really liked what they were doing. They had a lot of artists that we liked at the time, and we're like, hey, let's reach out. And Maria was Maria liked the stuff and was easy to work with. So, you know, we were just like, hey, this is our PR company. So
she's definitely no slouch, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, like she's worked with a lot of big acts.
Do you do a lot of collaboration with other bands, like help each other out and, you know, just help support each other?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of bands that we're friends with and kind of all have each other's back.
You know, when you look back at your humble beginnings, what have you enjoyed most about the process, or, you know, what do you enjoy most about being a musician, the journey?
Oh, honestly, the two greatest feelings are, you know, when there's the birth of a new song and you get that feeling where it's like, man, this is so cool, like, you know, writing a new song. So that's one on the creative side. And then second, the performance side, you know, playing and getting that feeling on stage and looking out and seeing people seeing that song. So, like, it's kind of this process. You see the birth of this song, and then eventually once it's released to the public and people get to know it, you start playing it live, and then they start singing it with you, and then it becomes this thing so much bigger than it ever was. And it was just like this, you know, intangible little idea in, you know, before it was fleshed out.
That's why it's hard when people like to ask you what's your favorite song that you've written. They're all your babies.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's personal.
It is.
Before the pandemic, how often were you and the guys getting together to, like, practice and stuff like that?
Do you guys all live nearby?
Well, so we all live within about an hour of each other, except for our drummer. I mean, not our drummer, our bassist. He lives in Houston, so he's about 2.5-3 hours away. But yeah, I mean... we're all fairly close to each other, and, you know, we were doing a lot of tour runs before this whole thing hit, so we kind of got our practice on stage, so to speak.
Trial by fire.
Yep.
When you, you know, when you were touring, if you had any issues with gear or whatever, were the other bands, like, helpful and said, hey, you know, you can use our drum kit, or you can use this, or yeah, we've got an extra string? Like, have you found that kind of camaraderie with some of the other bands you've toured with, some of the more independent bands, that they are willing to help you out if an emergency, or, you know, because sometimes things happen?
Oh yeah. The I don't know if you're familiar with the band Take the Day.
It sounds familiar.
We played a show with them in Joplin, Missouri, and they work with some of the same people we work with as far as radio, and we're a related artist, right? Mm. So naturally our paths crossed. Well, we booked a show with them in Missouri, and we show up and they have these really bad or really badass step boxes, right?
Oh, okay.
So I went up to Kenny, their singer, and I was like, "Hey man, you mind if I use one of those?" And he was like, "Sure, man." So I just threw it up there, and they were cool about it. But yeah, that was a good example of that.
Yeah, that's nice. It has to make you give you a sense of like being family, and you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have you guys been able to kind of pay it forward, like do that to somebody else, give them some advice or help them out in some way? You know what I mean?
Throw them a drum head or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a show. We actually were opening for Cold in San Antonio. Mm. Okay. And their drummer, or one of the drummers from one of the bands playing right after us to help save time with changeovers and stuff, we consolidated where their drummer basically used some of our kit. They used our drums and our throne, but just used their cymbals just to save time. And so that was an example of, I guess, just helping another band out.
What's the worst thing that's happened to you guys while you've been on stage playing live?
Worst thing?
Yeah.
Blacktop Mojo. We were playing. This definitely wasn't the worst. Like, it was fine, but there hasn't really been anything bad that's happened on stage. But the intro track starts. We're about to go on stage, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And my in-ears cut out.
Ugh.
So basically, I went the whole set without any in-ears. So I was just listening to the sound bounce off the wall but it was fine. I mean, that kind of stuff is bound to happen every once in a while. But yeah.
Where's the best place for people to go if they want to find your merchandise or if they want to download any of the tracks?
So we've got our online store. That is at downrightmerch.com/KingdomCollapse, I believe. The company is called Downright Merch. So if you look up Downright Merch and then type in Kingdom Collapse, it'll come up. Okay. We've got a lot of shirts on there, koozies, blah, blah, blah. But our music is on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, everything, every normal outlet. Is actually on Music Choice Uprise is on Music Choice as of 2 days ago. So it's out there.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. I hope you had fun because we really enjoyed talking to you.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it's been awesome talking to y'all, and it's been funny too.
Well, good, good. And hopefully, Rona will go the hell away and everything can get back to new normal.
Maybe
and
we'll see you up here in the mitten.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much and enjoy the rest of your night.
You too. Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Hey, bye.